This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Maryland's incoming governor, Republican Larry Hogan, will take office in less than 2 weeks. He's named several cabinet secretaries, but not a budget secretary, and he's due to present his budget plan to the General Assembly just 2 days after he's sworn in as governor January 21st. Hogan's campaign platform centered on cutting taxes, which he says are driving people and businesses out of the state. Hogan has indicated that state agencies and Baltimore City should brace for a change. Here he is at a press conference in mid-December, criticizing the budget performance of the O'Malley administration.
They drained our checking, saving, and retirement accounts. They maxed out every credit card. They tapped into the Christmas fund, the college tuition funds. They even broke into every one of the kids' piggy banks. And we still don't have enough to pay the bills.
So the question is, how will a Republican governor work with a Democratic legislature to balance the budget? With me in the studio is Roy Myers, professor of political science and affiliate professor of public policy at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC. He's looked at congressional, state, and federal budget transparency. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back, Sheila.
And joining me on the phone from Annapolis is Brian Sears, government reporter for the Daily Record. He's been following Governor-elect Hogan's transition. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Let's start with some of Larry Hogan's promises during his campaign. He talked about ongoing deficits and bringing Maryland's budget back into balance. Brian Sears, from what you observed during the campaign and since the election, what first steps are you expecting from Governor-elect Hogan?
The governor-elect is really going to have to prioritize what he does. And I think the first priority here comes with balancing the budget and erasing the structural deficit. You're looking at a structural deficit over the next 18 months of roughly $1 to $1.1 billion. And before the governor-elect can hope to do anything like raise taxes or even start to think about paying for new programs that people might want, he's going to have to tame that budget. And he's drawing himself a pretty small box by saying all of the things that he's not going to do, like do these transfers from special funds or declare a fiscal emergency that would allow him to tap into the money from the gas tax that goes into the highway user funds.
I just want to correct a small misspeak on your part before we go further. You said before he can think about raising taxes, and you meant...
I beg your pardon. Yeah, before he can think about lowering taxes. And that really has been a priority. And he's talked about wanting to roll back as many of the O'Malley tax hikes as he can. But that's not going to happen until the budget gets back into balance.
Professor Myers, what do you expect Governor-elect Hogan to focus on?
I think he's going to have to have a serious negotiation with the legislature about mandated and entitlement spending. Most of his claims during the campaign were vague. They were metaphors, like the tape that you showed, that you ran, talked about piggy banks and the Christmas fund and so on. Well, he's going to be governor soon, and he's going to have to deal with the realities of the state finances, which are much more complicated than he let on during his campaign. And one of the realities is that cutting discretionary spending, where he has a tremendous amount of power, is not going to be sufficient to reduce the amount of spending that he wants to do. And he's going to have to negotiate with legislative leaders regarding, for example, education formulas for the county boards of education, or Medicaid reimbursements. And those are very, very difficult programs to cut, both in terms of the program design and the politics.
I've read that about $4 out of $5 the state spends is mandated, is controlled by a formula or some law that the legislature has previously passed. So are we talking about changing all those laws in addition to a budget process?
Well, every year the governor makes a budget proposal, but that budget proposal includes not only recommended spending levels for agency operations, which the legislature can't increase, but also asks for changes in those laws. And they're normally packaged in a law called the BRFA, the Budget Reconciliation Financing Act. So if he's going to reduce education spending or Medicaid spending or many of the other programs that guarantee that spending will go up in the future years, he's going to have to use that mechanism. And that will require him to reach a compromise, an agreement with the legislative leadership and membership of the General Assembly.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Brian Sears, government reporter for The Daily Record, and Roy Myers, political and public policy professor at UMBC. Professor Myers, you alluded a few minutes ago to the power that the governor has in the budget process. That's really what makes Maryland's process unique compared to other states, right, is that Maryland's governor has more power.
Yeah, there's no question that the governor has very strong what we call proposal power. That is, the legislature has a harder time adding to his recommended level of spending than other legislatures in other states have. In addition,
can they add at all? I was under the impression they could only cut.
Yes, they can add. They can add, for example, by dedicating revenues for a particular purpose, but most importantly, by writing a law that mandates spending in future years, which is one of the reasons that we have higher education spending. That was what happened under the Thornton or the Bridge to Excellence legislation that dramatically increased state aid to local school boards. The incoming governor, Governor-elect Hogan's real powers are in the future will not just be his ability to propose a budget, but to propose structural changes in how the government actually works. You know, if we're going to save money in public safety, we're going to have to think about prison sentencing. If we're going to save money in health spending, we're going to have to think about how the state effectively carries out a very interesting Medicare waiver that we agreed to with the Federal Department of Health and Human Services.
Which has to do with how hospitals are reimbursed.
Right. And that's going, and not just hospitals, but in fact doctors actually under this new plan. And that kind of structural change is what is going to be needed to have the state's spending become more efficient.
Professor Myers, do you see our situation as a budget crisis?
I think we have a budget problem, not a crisis. I think we use this term crisis far too much when we talk about budgets.
Mm-hmm.
Every year there's going to be a challenge in budgeting because that's the nature of budgeting in that we have lots of different desires and wants and needs, however you define that, and a limit on the amount of money that we have. And sometimes that limit is surprisingly low compared to what we expected, as what happened over the period from 2008 on. So when you talk about the structural deficit that Brian mentioned of over $1 billion, well, that was the annual budget deficit in 2009 and 2010. I mean, so in fact, it was almost $2 billion in 1 year. So I would say that was a crisis. What we have now is a problem. It's a rather traditional problem, and it's one where it would be best for us as a state to think a bit outside the box. In that sense, I think it's good that Governor-elect Hogan has come into office with a willingness to challenge some of the traditional assumptions in Annapolis about what's appropriate spending. But that won't be sufficient. The idea that all we need to do is just cut agency operations and somehow free business to be more competitive, I think that's a rather limited approach to dealing with the challenges that we face.
Let me follow up on something else. You said that one of the ways the state legislature can sort of protect its budget goals is passing laws that mandate formulas that will affect future budgets. But when it comes to a current year's budget, what can legislative leaders do to protect spending that a governor wants to cut? Is there anything they can do?
No, that's much more difficult. There's no question. That's where the governor is quite powerful. And not just when the legislature is in session, but especially when the legislature leaves. If he can get the vote of, say, Comptroller Francho in the Board of Public Works, the Board of Public Works can cut spending, that's discretionary spending, by up to 25% in any account, as, in fact, the governor just did yesterday.
Wednesday.
I should say Wednesday, and has done, I think, 9 times during his 2 terms.
Brian, have you in your coverage of the legislature seen any legislative maneuvers that succeeded in protecting spending that a governor wanted to cut?
Well, there's always a certain amount of, for lack of a better term, horse trading. There are ways to negotiate things. The higher up you go on the food chain in the legislature, the better chance you have of being able to hold up things that a governor might want. I'll give you a really good example. Last year, Senator Thomas Middleton was able to hold up the minimum wage bill in order to get the state to agree to provide additional payments to caregivers of developmentally disabled people so that their salaries could keep pace with the minimum wage. That was something that ultimately the governor, in his reductions last week, cut in half. But, you know, but the legislature is able to, through a number of ways, take priorities that the administration might very much want to see pass and use them to bargain for things that they want.
Yeah, that's a great example. The difference, though, with that difference between that and what may happen in the future is that those are members of the same party. And now we have a divided government in this state, and that there's a very strong incentive for Governor Hogan to distinguish himself from the Democrats and to try and create a image of fiscal rectitude. And I think while that has dangers, of course, because most of the time when you cut spending, there are going to be aggrieved beneficiaries and aggrieved providers. Nevertheless, he certainly ran for office on a platform that that resonated with many people across the state regarding economic competitiveness and government spending. So to the extent that he can set up situations where he can demonstrate that he is cutting compared to what the Democrats want, it might be a plausible electoral strategy for 4 years from now, certainly.
Well, as I said, the budget is going to be the huge issue in the General Assembly the session that starts next week. I hope we can count on both of you to keep us posted.
Will do.
As it unfolds.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Roy Myers is Professor of Political Science and Affiliate Professor of Public Policy at UMBC. Brian Sears is a government reporter for the Daily Record who's been following Governor-elect Hogan's transition. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cast ahead on Maryland Morning, the fact and fiction in the new movie Selma. Stay with us on 88.1.